Judas here doesn't want that soul body. But he doesn't know he doesn't want it. And because he's unaware of it and wants to prevent Jesus from having it, unawares it, he himself is going to die because he does not have the soul body that he's trying to deny Jesus. Right here, he's sowing the seeds of his own death. He is saying, I have no soul body, and then he went out and proved he had none. 30 pieces of silver instead of a soul body, which is eternal life. Now, your human mind and mine have made that same mistake hundreds of times. And it's time to turn away from all the things we think so expedient for our human development and not to say, I'll get around to my soul body someday after I get this thing done and that thing done. There's no time to wait. There is no time to wait. Paradise now means soul body now. So I'm stressing this because Spirit has in mind for you to recognize that the time to cultivate the awareness of your soul body is now. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Nobody knew what he was talking about. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Now it's so clear. Put him in a tomb, and this is what is going to take him out of the tomb. That ointment, which is but a symbol of his soul body, is going to take him out of the tomb when they bury him. But he's our teacher. That soul body is going to take you and me out of the tomb when they bury us. Oil of the soul. So look for that anointing. It is a specific event. It comes when you have proven certain spiritual fidelities. And it means just what it says here. It means that the Father is making known to you your spiritual body, which prevents your staying in a tomb of flesh. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. We always have the poor in spirit, but the Christ is something we don't recognize. Those people that are Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. You might say that the few who were tuned to the Spirit saw what was happening, not just at that time, but in the centuries that follow. But mostly they come for the miracle of someone being raised from the dead without getting out of it the symbolism, the meaning, the purpose. It is your function to find, to develop, to live in the body of the Spirit formed from the oil of your soul, the essence of your being, and to walk through the tomb of death without dying. It would seem to me that because it is the will of God that you do it, and because the will of God cannot be mocked, we are going to do it. Some earlier, some later. Some soon. Because we are told the hour cometh when those who are in their graves, in their tombs of flesh, will come forth. And that will be the achievement of 100-fold of fruit. When you go all the way to the third heaven in your spiritual body. The Word of God is the infinite Christ, the identity of everyone who walks this earth. Christ is composed of three major elements: eternal life, spirit, soul. All three are Christ. They interpenetrate. Soul is in spirit and in the eternal life. Spirit is in soul and in eternal life. Eternal life is in spirit and in soul. They are one. Inseparable. And never have been separated. When you attain the first, which is soul, you automatically will attain the second and the third. And those are the 3 days that are called the first, second, and third heavens. And they in your Bible are the fifth, sixth, and seventh day of creation. They are also taught as omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. You can put them where you like. I would put omniscience in with the soul, omnipotence with the spirit, and omnipresence with eternal life. But all three in one. So when you find the first, you find them all. You cannot separate them. And it is the will of the Father that you accept them as the living substance of your own life. In the beginning was the Word, and that's the Word. So, Spirit, Christ, all three in one. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and that's important. Your soul, your spirit, and your Christhood in one. They are God. Who can accept the enormity of that with a human mind? Where can you put it? Make a little incision in the brain and try to remember it? You have to go beyond that. You can't begin it with less than total faith. And then your faith deepens because loving God supremely, whatever God says you are willing to walk out on. And finally, as your faith deepens and your love of God is able to express itself as belief in what God says, and you begin to accept that the spirit, soul, and the eternal life of me are God. You can be nothing else. You can never think again in terms of the tombstone that you're going to be buried under. You can't think that way anymore. You must accept that you are eternally alive. And although you don't know what form the spiritual body would take, the fact that you will be alive forever becomes known to you. And then it becomes known to you that you can remove the will, that you are alive forever. And you find yourself living not in the passage of time, but living in the eternal now, alive now. Eternally. Because God is, and your spirit, your soul, your Christhood, your eternal life is God. And therefore, you are alive now eternally. What's missing is the capacity to hold the consciousness of this with fidelity against the tempter. Your 40 days in the wilderness should have prepared you for this. And it might be 540 or 10,040. 40 symbolizes as long as necessary to solidify the truth in your consciousness. If after 5 incarnations it's solidified, that's called 40 days too. 40 days means until completion. You've got to take the 40 days and live in them with every truth you get, so that you don't live 40 days in this truth and it's all established. Every new truth has to be lived in until it is the very essence of your being. Then that 40 days is over with that truth, but here's the new one right behind it. Because truth has a way of multiplying within you. Let us contemplate the presence of your spiritual body in the invisible now. And know that it is only 1/3, you might say, of who you are. This infinite spiritual body is only 1/3 of you. Because the life that animates that spiritual body is eternal. And that's another 1/3 of you. And the soul that serves as an enforcer and a divine perception and a communication with the Infinite Father is another third of you, three in one. And all now, and therefore, what they are not, you are not. But what they are, you are. So one can begin to say, I am soul, spirit, eternal life. And one can say with equal authority, I live now in my kingdom, which is the kingdom of soul, spirit, and eternal life. And because it is my kingdom, I must be the king of it. I am no longer seeking, striving, asking, or knocking. I have received. And your faith in having received enables you to turn to the infinite silence, which is the womb of manifestation. Your eternal life will manifest. It will manifest with a spiritual substance. And your soul will bring that manifestation into living experience. You fulfill the will of God, accepting soul, spirit, and eternal life as the very substance of God, and in turn, it begins to express all the qualities of God. There's not much human activity in what we're talking about, because that's the last and final manifestation. All of this inner self becomes the outer. But we're living in the realm of cause now. And only when you're living there, only when you're living there, will the Holy Ghost be your regular dispensation. It brings with it not only directions, but the capacity to fulfill those directions. You can write on your wall if necessary. It can bring out of the invisible that which is necessary in the visible. It treats you like the Son of God. That Holy Ghost now, to the individual who has accepted that he is the living Word, that he is the soul, spirit, and eternal life, which is called Christ, that acceptance of all three as my present identity makes me a hearer, a recipient of the Holy Ghost. Makes me capable of being taught by God, living in communication with infinite source, An infinite source has the substance to fulfill its expressed will in you. So God's substance, which can never be in any way influenced by human power, fulfills divine will in you. You can go no higher. When God's substance fulfills divine will in you, and you are constantly open to it, you are what Jesus Christ was on the earth. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. The words I speak, the works I do, the Father doeth. Is this beyond your expectation? It shouldn't be. We are all to be the living expression of divine will. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But believe me, only 100-fold is acceptable to the Father. Now, these are the rewards of the Spirit. The capacity to see the kingdom of God where the world sees the cosmic dream. Then, when you read that the world was formed by Christ, you know what it means. It means that all reality is the light of Christ, and therefore the light of your being is the light of all reality. You see, you're coming into different levels of oneness, where there's nothing in reality that isn't your being. There's no two-ness anywhere. Where the ocean is, the light of Christ is. Where the ocean is, the light of you is. And that's why you feel this kinship or warmth sometime when the ocean seems to stretch out its arms. The light of it, the invisible spirit of it, is you. The invisible spirit of your child is you. The invisible spirit of Jesus is you. All there is you. Because all there is God. And God and I are one. And because you cannot share this with mortals, you hold it quietly within yourself, faithful to it, never desecrating it by bringing it forth to a human mind, never acknowledging the presence of a human mind, just living in the truth which lives you. All things were made by Christ, and whatever Christ did not make is an illusion. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. When this is expressed, It is the will of the Father that you live accordingly. And so the life of you, which passes on, is not your life. Because the life of you is this life, which is the life of the Father. The human life is not your life. The human life is not the life of your child. The human life is not the life of mankind. The life of God is present where human life seems to be. We really have to dwell with that a long time. You just can't walk into it and say, oh yes, I know that. You have to dwell with it, contemplate it, let the Spirit unfold the fullness of its meaning. Think of a world in which the life of God, which is the only life here, is unknown to all who walk the face of the earth. And try to imagine how there could ever be harmony in such an imitation life. And try to see that whoever steps apart from this cosmic illusion of a life that is not the life of God automatically comes into the law of divine perfection and is acknowledging the presence of a life that has had no beginning in time and can have no ending in time and in which time cannot pass. That life is the life of those who have accepted it to be their life and who have tried to be true to the fact that their life is the life of God. When anyone can move out into that understanding and that activity which says the life of God is my life, there will be a divine activity made visible there. And in the case of Jesus, it showed up. In the case of John, it showed up. Wherever there is an acceptance of divine life, then the divine attributes are made manifest. You can stop right there and work with that for the rest of your days on this earth. And with that alone, you could build a glorious life experience. If you were faithful to it. We'll assume now that many of us have, in a measure, lived in our divine life, in our divine selfhood, in our divine body, in our divine consciousness. And if we have, we have been vaulted into new dimensions, higher dimensions. Our life is flowing out in spiritual dimensions into many mansions. And the experiences we have should be of such a nature that we are assured that we have caught the secret key of living in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. stronger we feel about this, the more we realize that it is possible, consciously, to walk now in the kingdom of heaven on earth, daily. Just as people cannot see the kingdom of heaven now, they will not see you living in it, and you will not see yourself living in it. But you will notice many different changes in your environment, because the conscious living in the kingdom brings forth the God substance. And I think very shortly you're going to notice that whoever can live in God substance consciously will bear fruit very quickly in many ways. And that's what Adam did not know. And that's what the prophets do know. When Amos says, the plowman will overtake the reaper, you're learning that cause and effect, sowing and reaping, will not be apart in time. And you're learning that you living in divine reality and you reaping will be the plowman and the reaper finding simultaneity, or that the fields are white to harvest the moment you plant, the moment you become an inhabitant of divine substance. You'll find your garden is growing, and the flowers that grow in your garden will be quite unlike the ones that grew in the Garden of Eden, at least as seen through the eyes of Adam and Eve. Your garden will take on an entirely different appearance. It will be a divine garden, and it will manifest divine ideas. And then the sower who went forth to sow, who planted the divine seed called you, will reap through you a perfect son. Imagine, if you will now, yourself perfect as your father, alive now, living, expressing all that God is. Try to imagine that. That self you are imagining will never know death, lack, limitation, changes in scenery, changes in the weather, pain, suffering. That self will never depart the kingdom of God unto eternity. That is yourself, and the one you live in is your concept about that perfect self. Be transformed. Move out of the concept. Let it die in your consciousness. And let it be replaced by the divine self that is you.